As we get going, anybody have a good first week story? Thomas. Anybody have a good first week story? Yeah?
Josh, did you have one?
So I have late arrival in the valley, and I got there early. And I was like, sure, I knew my classes were. And a teacher walks up to me, and she asked me, "Are you a freshman? Are you lost?"
And you're a senior.
Yes.
Dude.
Ooh.
And you're like,
ooh. Don't feel too bad. When I was at USC Aiken as a student teacher, that's when you're like in an education major and you're walking around the halls. This lady told me to go to the office, go get a badge, student. She thought I was a student. So she said, oh, I'm sure you're from USC Aiken. Yeah, we're all from USC Aiken. Go to the office. Oh. Okay, blessed are the peacemakers. We'll do this. I don't want to keep you here too long because it is hot. So sorry about that.
It's going to win it?
It might. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be any better.
It won't be hotter yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody good at science and stuff? You think it'll get warmer? I don't know. Doesn't that sound smart? Anybody good at science and junk?
Work.
Okay, so let's pray. We'll get into it. Father, thank you so much for giving us the ability to sing your praises back to you. We pray for a miracle to happen tonight. We pray, Lord, that you grab a hold of our hearts, shake us out of our comfort zone, and may we love you more. We can only do that through the Holy Spirit. We ask that be done. Lord, give us a spirit that's not complaining right now. We're so thankful and blessed to be in a country where we don't have to worry about persecution of any kind coming to worship you and talk about you. So, yeah, the air's not working, but, you know, we're still blessed, so please put us in that right frame of mind, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, peace is what Jesus is talking about. Blessed are the peacemakers. What kind of peace is Jesus talking about here? I'm going to sing some lyrics. I'm not going to sing them, I'm going to say them, and you tell me who this is. Imagine there's no countries. It's not, wow. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. Harrison got it right. Harrison got it right. He's not part of the song. But no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say, I'm a dreamer. I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. That was John Lennon. John Lennon was known for sort of being the first kind of hippie to hit the mainstream, right? He was all about peace. All about peace. I don't mean to... This is weird because I'm starting to understand, I'm really old. Here's how old I am. I was at Kennedy Middle School as a seventh grader. Kennedy. Eagle's in the house, right? That's right. One eagle.
Me!
Oh, we never did that. So here's what we did. Here's what we did. The teacher said during the Iraq War, Gulf War, 1990, said, you can bring a Walkman with you to class. Okay. Walk around the hall. You could do that because you could listen to the radio and hear updates on the war. And so we said we were listening to updates, but really we'd listen to some fly jams from 91. And so we listened to the war stuff going on. They'd give you a little, 30 minutes, little snippets. But during that time, there were all these actors and musicians who started to redo these songs, and it was called Give Peace a Chance. We just need to give peace a chance. It was a big thing in Hollywood to say, you know, we don't need to be at war right now. We need to be at peace. It sounded good. They looked like they were just saying, give peace a chance. Is this what Jesus is talking about? Blessed are the peacemakers. Is it? The absence of war? Opposed to you? Awkward silence? No? Okay. Well, John Lennon, the guy who told us that he hopes the world would join him, and I'm not meaning to pick on the guy, do I have a picture there? Yeah, there he is. Not meaning to pick on the guy. Came out later, and right before he passed away, he was kind of telling about all the bad things he had done, kind of cleaning out his soul, I guess you'd say. Talking about, man, I really I roughed up my first wife. Oh, and there's another day I had too much to drink, and I nearly killed a guy with my fists. Nearly killed him. What stopped me was, I was back. I thought, I'm about to kill this guy. I just say that because, like, the world has a version of peace, but I don't think it's deep enough. Peace to them is just don't fight. Peace that Jesus is talking about is something way deeper. It goes to the heart of the issue. Like, imagine this. Imagine if, maybe you've done this before, downstairs watching the nursery, there's a bunch of little kids, and kind of turns into Lord of the Flies. They're all, like, getting each other. And if you just said, be quiet right now, and everybody just looks at you, well, you just attained some form of peace, right? They're not fighting. But that's not the peace Jesus is talking about. Something deeper than that. going along with that story, y'all know where this is? Anybody ever been there? It's kind of off the John Lennon thing. The artist there who did that, and you can see his point. We need to pursue peace. That's right by the UN building in New York City. The artist commissioned to do that was actually Yoko Ono, was John Lennon's wife, said, we need to do something to just remind people of peace. And that's what it's pretty ingenious, I think. Pretty neat thing. But again, it gives the idea that what we think of peace is just don't fight. Just don't fight. So, which brings me to the whole point tonight. The world out there doesn't believe Jesus, who does not believe in Jesus, still thinks that peace is a good thing, that we need to go after it. They still want it. But it's a selfish peace. Again, it's like, everybody's being quiet. And they're quiet. Nah, Jesus is calling you to something else. He's calling you to something else. Jesus means so much more than not fighting, and it's way deeper than that. Think of it as goodness of soul. Oh, yeah. Imagine if you're downstairs. Be quiet. And I just Googled, like, bad kid. Okay, well, what is this peace then? What is it? And let me just break this down for you. He's using a word called shalom. Anybody ever heard that word, shalom? It's a sort of a Hebrew word, shalom. Imagine this. It means goodness of soul. Imagine maybe this has been you once in a while. Maybe you went on vacation this summer. Maybe you had a whole month before you had to worry about school. Maybe you just like grilled burgers that night and everything was as the world should be. And you just watched the waves come and go. And for 30 minutes to an hour, you thought about nothing but how awesome this moment is. That's where we're getting close to. Shalom. Everything is as it should be. Wholeness. This is it. This is good stuff right here. That's where we're getting closer to. But I think, you know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for you shall be called the sons of God. What is it not, really, is a better question. What is it not? Shalom, wholeness, everything as it should be. Okay, better question. What kills shalom? How about this? We just figure out what kills it and we don't do that. What kills peace? Pride. Pride kills it. If you have a Bible, Proverbs 28:25, you don't worry about turning there. It pictures pride as this huge wedge that comes between people, dividing them. Proverbs 28:25 says a better way to read it would be, a prideful man stirs up strife. Pride is the number one peace killer out there. It will rob you of peace, of this shalom, of this wholeness. It will rob you of it. Totally take it out. I love what John Adams once wrote. He said, no matter what age, no matter what color, no matter where you're from, one thing remains true for every human being. We all are on a quest to prove that we're superior to everyone else. Left for ourselves, we're on this quest to prove that we're superior. And that has to be checked. Hubris, pride. Ever played board games with little kids? Oh, goodness. Did you see that come out? I hadn't rolled yet. Yeah, you did. You know, that's the natural human heart coming out. I need to prove that I'm superior to people. I really do. So, I have a couple examples. Anybody know who this band is? I'm proving my age. They're from England.
One Direction.
No, way before One Direction. They did a song called Wonderwall.
Oasis.
Today is going to be the day, you know, that song. It's a good song. So there's two brothers in this group. Noel Liam Gallagher.
Are they the ones in the sunglasses? The one without the sunglasses?
He's the singer.
No, no, I'm sorry. He's the singer. He's these two are brothers.
Yeah,
those two. Noel and Liam. Did you know that these two blood brothers, made it to the top of, like, in England and even here in America, they were, if you go to a pub in England, they shut down the pub, and the pub is not just a bar, it's a place of, it's where the community goes, but they always close the pub with Wonderwall. It's that big of a song. Up until a couple years ago, I've heard. But what happens is, these two brothers haven't talked in 8 years. 8 years, brothers. Why? Because one of them questioned the other's singing ability. They haven't spoken in 8 years. They broke up a couple years ago. Pride kills relationships. Pride definitely kills relationships. Weirdly enough, and this is kind of a true story, pride even makes it to the set of Star Wars. The actors who play these two characters haven't talked in a while because they were at an autograph signing. And one of them felt slighted by the other. So the two guys who play these two droids, they haven't talked to one another because of pride. It has ruined their relationship. That's kind of funny, but kind of sad. Pride killed it. So let me just put this on the ground and say this. Prideful people don't have peace in their lives. What's really weird is this. You can't really stay friends with a person if you feel like you need to be superior to them. You can't be friends with someone if internally you feel like you need to be superior to them. If you're going to be the person who is in a spot of shalom, peace, you will have to have that need to feel superior killed in you. Absolutely. Ask yourself next time you find yourself tempted, why do I need to feel superior here? Why do I need to feel this way? You have to kill that. For some of us, we tend to have feelings of superiority rise when we see someone drive a car that is older and more beat up than ours. We feel that thing kind of creep up. For others of us, it might be going to a friend's house and the house is just not as good as yours. And you might internally feel that thing come up, superiority. For others, it might be the neighborhood isn't nice, whatever. Still others, it might be that you have feelings of superiority when you see people that don't have the same struggles as you. Maybe you're just better than them at academics or sports or something like that. But you have to fight that thing. Fight that thing that always wants to find superiority. Always wants to find joy in being better. Mainly because that breaks shalom. That breaks peace. Okay, number two. What else kills shalom, peace? Yes, here it is. You can't really stay friends with a person if you feel like you are superior to them in some way. If you're going to be the person who is in a spot of shalom, you have to have that need to feel superior dealt with. What else kills it? Envy. Envy kills it. Look at that green dog. Man, I want that bone. Envy kills shalom. 1 Timothy 6:4 says this. He's talking about not such a good guy. He is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies. He likes to fight about words and results in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions. It's impossible to be at peace, shalom, whatever you want to call it, and envious at the same time. Impossible to have that thing, shalom and envy, going on in the same heart. Name for me one person in the Bible who felt severe envy for someone and it turned out pretty good for him. You can't. Cain and Abel? How'd that one end up? How about Ahab and Naboth? Ahab is the king of the time. He says, I want that vineyard. How'd that end up? Not too good. Envy kills peace. It might not be the next thing for you, though. It might not be something material. I'll just be honest with you. It might actually be a situational thing. You might be tempted to envy. It might be something like this. I would see people who were in a much better spot than my family financially, and I didn't feel like they appreciated it or were grateful. So I started to envy. I started to grow bitter in my heart because they didn't have the same struggles I did. I remember being at a friend's house, and seriously, this is the way it was. I'm not trying to say, like, oh, poor me. But the mom would sit there and say, we're going to order some pizza for supper. We're like, wow, we never did do that. Awesome. And then she'd say, like, how many do we need? And he'd say, like, I don't know, four, because we'd have a bunch of people over. There he would. And then his mom would, like, be like, I think you need two more. Let's go ahead and get six. be like, I've never been in a house where it's been like that. That is amazing. But I didn't feel like he was grateful for it. I didn't feel like he appreciated that. I didn't feel like, you don't know what it's like to be like, you know, at the end of the paycheck and there's still a month left. So I started to grow bitter. Like, man, you should be grateful. Well, that's his own battle, man. Now, I turned envious, and that killed all the peace in that relationship. I killed Shalom there. So they didn't have the same struggle I did, and I didn't feel like they appreciated it. But again, that killed Shalom. Okay, so moving on. How then do we chase after it? We know what kills it, what builds it. Here's what builds it. I can tell you internally, this was a big one. If you really want a life of peace within your soul, you do well to do this. Look more at the good aspects of someone than dwelling on all the faults they have. That will do very well in your relationships with others and your peace, your shalom. Do more, like look more toward their good than their bad. Don't look always on the failings of others. Rather, dwell on their graces. You're never going to meet someone who is perfect. It's just not going to happen. Ever. One Puritan said this, and he's talking in a different time, okay? So just remember this. He's like belt buckle hat guy. He says, we are more prone to do this. We're more prone to look at the sun during eclipse than when it's out in full, you know, clear. And what he meant was, we're more prone to look at people when they're being overshadowed than when they're just normal, doing their thing. It's sort of true. In other words, we can spend most of our time looking and thinking about people in their darkest hour rather than seeing them in their best light, and this will rot away at your soul. Rot away at you. Social media, this is easy to do, man. You just get on Instagram and be like, there he is again. What are you doing in that moment? You're dwelling on bad. Dwelling on, oh, that's just them. That's just how bad they are. That's just who they are. That's killing your soul. It's killing mine because I'm guilty of it. All right, but could it be that there's just one person in your life, or it could be that there's a group of people, whatever, they get on your nerves, but could it be that you'd probably have them as a friend if you'd only stop associating them with only their faults all the time? Could it be that you'd actually be their friend if you'd just stop associating them primarily with their faults, just with what's wrong with them? I do it all the time. I got to be honest with you. I do it all the time with kids. Like, oh, that kid is so whiny. Because you're in a group when you have a child with other little children, and then you're like, oh, that kid is so whiny. Then you think, you know what? I'm only focusing in on one bad part of this child. I'm sure he's a pretty good kid. That kills your shalom. You want peace within yourself and with others, you rip that list up. What list? We all have a list. We all have a list. We carry around other people's names on it. What's wrong with them, what they've done to us, things like that. And then we just associate that with them. If you want shalom, if you want peace, if you want to be a peacemaker, rip that list up. Throw it away. But it's not just peace within ourselves Jesus is talking about here. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Not just an inside kind of peace. We're called to make peace with others who are not really liking each other. Proof that you have the Holy Spirit in you is that you really do want to see people reconcile. Let me ask you a deep theological question. Why is it we're more drawn to YouTubes of fights than we are to YouTubes of moments of reconciliation, I guess you'd say, the opposite of it? We're more drawn to looking at, look at this! Or at your school, if you go to public school. If there's ever a fight, why is there a crowd gather? Man, that appeals to our flesh. We want to see that. But the proof that you have the Holy Spirit in you is that you'd rather see reconciliation. You'd rather see that than some serious fighting going on. So let me ask you, does it weigh heavy on you sometimes that people fight and can't get along? Does it weigh heavy on you that sometimes you have people in your life that you really don't like? Does that weigh heavy on you? Like sometimes you go, maybe it's me. Maybe it's them. I don't know. Truth of the matter is this, you can't settle for the John Lennon kind of peace. That kind of peace that just says, well, just stop fighting. It goes way deeper than that. Way deeper. So anyway, let's just close it with this. There you are. Look at that. Stop fighting, boys. Okay, Colossians 1:20. The only way you can have peace and be a peacemaker is this. Colossians 1:20 says that Jesus made peace between us and God the Father Why or how? It became that substitute, that sponge. If I had a cup of water, I shouldn't have thought about it. Here's what happened. God's wrath didn't just disappear. Jesus was the sponge who had to absorb it for you and me. That's the only way you can have peace. That's the only way you can be a peacemaker. It's because you're reflecting that. It's only as you understand that you're able to seek peace with others yourself and yourself that you know that you yourself are one who Christ died for. So in other words, he comes to the courtroom and says to the Father, I'll switch identities with them, and you pour down that judgment on me. You give me that hard sentence that they deserve. Only as you understand that you're a true peacemaker. We've got a few more minutes, but we're not going to stand here. Amen. You can amen that. We're Presbyterian. That's okay. Why don't we grab some snacks? And if y'all like one of those rooms to the side, we'll take the one that y'all will get. Because we're gentlemen. We're gentlemen. But let's pray, and we'll talk about it. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what you've called us to be. You've called us to be peacemakers. I pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you'd move in us to where we understand what's been done for us so that we can then do it for others. God, grant us just safety in community and talking with one another about these things. Lord, I pray that you'd enable us to just be who we are. That's just in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.